Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to the Access Gate Technologies Limited Q1 FY26 earnings conference call. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on your touchtone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Ms. Sangeeta Tripathi. Thank you, and over to you, ma'am.
Thank you, moderator. Good evening, everyone, and welcome to the Q1 FY26 result conference call of Access Gate Technologies Limited. I am joined today by our leadership team to provide a brief overview of the business performance and the financial results. We have with us today Dr. Sampath Ravinarayanan, our Chairman, Mr. Alfonso Martins, our Managing Director and CEO, Mr. K.P. Mohan Krishnan, our Deputy CEO and President, Aerospace, Mr. D. Murali Krishnan, our Chief Operating Officer, Mr. Sashidhar S.K., our Chief Financial Officer, Mr. Anurag Sharma, our President, ESAI and CEO, Ad Solutions, Mr. Shardul Babu, our President of Defense. Before we begin, please note that this call may contain forward-looking statements based on company's current expectations, beliefs, and opinions. These statements involve risks and uncertainties, and the actual results may differ materially. Now, I hand over the call to our Chairman, sir, Dr. SRN. Over to you, sir.
Thank you, Sangeeta. Thank you, everyone. It has now been nearly 6 months since I resumed the role of Chairman of your esteemed company. During this period, we have embarked on a series of strategic initiatives. I will highlight 3 major initiatives we have taken up. One, we have set up a target of over 40% year-on-year growth, and we are all set for that. We have an order book of 1,260 crores for this financial year, FY26, and 1,827 crores for the next financial year, that is FY27. The forecast visibility plus order book and totaling to 3,087 crores. So we are in a comfortable position to achieve a 40%+ growth. Of course, only this has to be, everything has to be converted in delivery, but we are confident of that. There are not major dependencies at this stage for FY26 and 27. So we are confident of that growth. Please note that this is on the core areas only, that is defense, aerospace and ESAI. So we will definitely register a growth of more than 40% in these areas, especially in EBITDA, PAT and as well as in the revenue. And the next major initiative I've taken is Power 930, which is reaching 9,000 crores, that is $1 billion in the year 2030. So for that, we are building a robust pipeline, also matching infrastructure. So this all should be ready. Pipeline looks very, very good at this point of time. We have time to convert, and this all, lot of things are infrastructure dependent. So we are building up the world-class infrastructure to be ready in time for us to grow. If this happens in 2028, 9 and 30, we will have a much greater growth for these 3 years. So we are kind of at this point of time, the visibility is very, very good, and we hope to be on track on this. The third thing is, as you would have noticed, that we have signed some good global partnerships, 2 of them, which is MBDA for missile activities and then Indra for radar related activities. And we are trying to sort of, this not only gives us an annuity revenue and visibility, but also gives us a technological edge to become a front runner in missile and radar systems. And we are also in the process of forging more such partnerships to stabilize our revenue and growth. So these partnerships are across all the 3 domains, not only confined to defense, but also to ESA and aerospace. So with this, I will hand over to our CFO, Mr. Sashidhar, to summarize our investor presentation and to the next steps. Thank you very much.
Good evening, everyone, and thank you, Dr. SRN, A warm welcome to all of you for joining us today for the Q1 FY26 earnings call. I trust you have had the opportunity to review our earnings press release and the investor presentation, both of which are available on our website as well as on the BSE and NSE platform. Despite Q1 being a traditionally lean quarter, we are pleased to report a healthy performance for Q1 FY26, marked by double-digit growth in our core businesses, steady progress in our transformation roadmap, and clear visibility of growth and profitability in the coming quarters. So now I'll walk you through some key financial metrics for Q1 FY26. Our consolidated revenue for the quarter is at 244 crores, up by about 9% year-on-year. The reported EBITDA for the quarter is 34 crores, up 9% year-on-year, compared to 31 crores in Q1 FY25, with an EBITDA margin at 14% in both these quarters. The EBITDA growth year-on-year is at 86% when we normalize previous year EBITDA to 18 crores by adjusting the one-time write-back of ESOP provision of INR 12.9 crores. As such, the normalized EBITDA margins have also witnessed healthy momentum year-on-year, expanding from 8.2% in Q1 FY25 to 14% in Q1 FY26. Our consolidated profit after tax for the quarter is up 25% year-on-year, from 17 crores in Q1 FY25 to 21 crores in Q1 FY26. With significant order book in defense back-ended for execution in H2, the revenue and profitability metrics will accelerate in H2-26 with the ramp-up in defense revenues and attendant margin expansion. Our core demands in the Q1 grew by 17% year-on-year from 156 crores to 182 crores, driven by ASI, which is Electronics, Semiconductors and Artificial Intelligence, which grew by 34%, Defense, which grew by 23%, and Aerospace, which grew by 8% year-on-year. The core segment normalized EBITDA grew by 61% year-on-year from INR 21 crores to INR 34 crores. Consequently, the margins of the core business have also witnessed improvement from 13.5% to 18.6%. Our core verticals saw significant order intake during the quarter, as has been announced from time to time, and we expect that this momentum will build further in H2 FY26, supported by enhanced procurement from Indian defense and global OEMs. Our non-core verticals, which is heavy engineering, automotive and energy, declined 9% year-on-year, largely due to continued macro pressure in the automotive sector and timing-related order shifts in energy. We are currently recalibrating this business and improving the mix and cost optimization efforts in non-core, which has resulted in marginal turnaround and profitability in Q1. We are engaged with a strategic advisor in these optimization and restructuring efforts, which is currently underway. In summary, all the core verticals in the aggregate continue to record healthy EBITDA margins at 18.6%, which is being diluted to 14% at an enterprise level on account of lower margins on the non-core business. Additionally, we are progressing well on infrastructure and facility development that supports our product-led non-linear growth strategy over the next 5 years. As has been guided by our CEO in the investor presentation, our objective is to grow by 40% CAGR in revenue, as Dr. SRN said, in core verticals only, leading up to an EBITDA margin of around 19.5% in 3 fiscal years up to FY28. This is fully backed by confirmed order book forecast and visibility. The current year FY26 guidance is around 25% growth in revenue, including core and non-core, and 300 bps improvement in EBITDA over the previous year, driven by our core verticals. To conclude, a robust and growing order book in all the 3 core verticals, our strategic collaborations and global partnerships are steadily laying the groundwork for our stated aspiration of reaching $1 billion revenue by 2030. Thank you for your continued trust and support. We now open the floor for questions.
Thank you very much. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and 1 on their touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and 2. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. We take the first question from the line of Balasubramaniam from Arihant Capital Markets Limited. Please proceed.
So much for the opportunity. So I just want to understand defense and the aerospace side. I think mostly we are targeting 75% kind of revenue. and how we are exposed due to budget cuts or delays in Indian defense procurement, SU-30 upgrades or LRDE projects. And could you please break down the 1,800 crore order book by program wise, like SU-30 upgrades, counter drone, and you can share also delivery timelines. And thirdly, it's more interesting, AI-empowered engineering side, and what kind of efficiency gains we can expect in terms of reduced design cycles, whether it is justified for premium pricing or market share gains.
Thank you. I first tell you on the order book. It is combined of all the three activities. Currently, we have order book and forecast visibility of about 540 crores in defense and about 210 crores in ESAR and 450 crores in aerospace, approximately. It should add up, and basically that is so defense alone is about 540 crores. This also comprises of OEM activities as well as three groups actually, DRDO, PSU, and which is of the programs you are talking about, MOD, which is including all the anti-drone and those kind of systems, and then the OEM engagements like MGDA, Indra, Itapati. So a combination of all the three systems. So there is no dependency, there is no delay in the programs we are participating, and we have a long-term visibility on all these things. We work across the platform. For example, we are across the platforms because, for example, our products like the Direction Finder is there almost in every major platform. So we have no dependencies on this for this year as well as next year. So that is next is using of AI. We are working on various activities in this for the defense AI combination. We are also working with some foreign collaboration for establishing that, especially in our anti-drone and related activities and so on. Please note that the overall, it's not only defense, we are talking about all the three segments at this point of time. Is there anything I missed out, Mr. Balasubramanian?
Sir, this AI-empowered engineering strategy side, is there any measure of efficiency gain?
We are working on that. I'll be able to highlight more next quarter. We may find something very interesting in the next 1 or 2 months. And we'll be in a position to explain further by next quarter. Give us some time. And even Government of India is focused on certain activities related to that. And so we are working on that at this stage.
Okay, sir. Sir, on that, Airbus provides stability business. I just want to understand what are the tangible progress we have taken diversifying it into other OEMs and tier ones. And is there any tariff impacts based on the global levels? Because US have imposed various tariff rates to various countries, and how we are having advantage compared to other countries.
First question will Mohan will answer. Before that, I will answer the last question and then hand it over to Mohan. One is the tariff impact. We don't have much because we have 27% US, our total revenue, 27% comes from US, and out of which mainly it's from neither from ESI, and currently other revenue is booked in US itself, US Inc. We are also for safeguarding other revenues. We are trying to book everything in US so that there is no India dependency, India-US dependency. So that will be taken care of. And over to you, Mohan. Please explain to him what are the steps you are taking to kind of back up Airbus and the other OEMs and so on. What are the initiatives you are taking?
Thanks, sir. Good evening, Mr. Balasubramanian. On your question on additional customers, I've joined this Axis Cadus in the month of April, and immediately we started looking at expanding into new customers. We got a few wins, companies like tier ones like Mubia. We have started engagement with Boeing. All these things we would see the results coming in the Q3 and Q4. And we have also done some small wins with Indian tier ones as well. So the idea is to see that we bring in more and more customers so that we have the revenues get distributed and we have a risk mitigation as well on that.
Okay, sir. So my last question. Yes, sir. So my last question regarding attrition side, it's rose to 19% in this quarter, and as we are moving as a defense and aerospace in going forward, like how, what are the steps you have taken for talent retention, and what are the training and upskilling programs you have taken, especially for critical defense and aerospace roles?
Murli, can you answer this?
Yes. So yes. Attrition control is an important factor for us, and we are working on various employee experience and employee engagement initiatives to ensure that our employees are retained. On top of that, we are also taking significant upskilling programs for our core domains. This includes aerospace design activities, concession, repair, and manufacturing engineering. We are also collaborating with various external parties and agencies to reskill and retrain our employees so that our core domains can be strengthened.
Thank you, sir.
Okay.
Thank you. Before we proceed with the next question, ladies and gentlemen, in order to ensure that the management is able to address questions from all the participants, please limit your question to two per participant. The next question is from the line of Varun Kulkarni from InCred Asset Management. Please proceed.
Hi, good evening, sir. Thank you for the opportunity. Just a couple of questions. So the first one would be, I see that we are going to commission new facilities which would contribute 30% and 50% of the total revenues in FY27 and FY28. So how are we planning to fund this capex? Would it be in the form of a joint venture, or are we going to dilute any equity or raise debt? And if it is in the form of a joint venture, have we found any partner as of now? That would be question number one. Second question would be, why is the first quarter generally lower? And what is the timeline of the contract? How is that decided? And what would the revenue flow look like once the order is awarded? And what will be the payment cycle in defense? Yeah, thank you.
First question is, we are, the facilities are developed by a downstream company called AAIPL, Axis Aerospace Infrastructure Private Limited, which in turn is owned by ACAT, which is Info. So we are trying to raise money, or we are trying to get strategic partnership at AAIPL level. We have a very, in fact, we have some oral commitment from in two tranches. Probably the first a small portion we will receive in the month of probably in Q2 itself, or beginning of Q3. And by Q4, we will probably receive a major portion. And from, these are all from strategic partners who would also participate in this. And this is secured, and we are not in, currently there is no plan of either borrowing money or diluting anything at the listed company level. That's number one. Number two, in the defense side, the payment cycle is always, it's hovering around 180 days. There's somewhere around starting from 90 days to goes up to, because portion of liquidity damages, everything is there, performance guarantees. So approximately, it's once you can safely assume it will be a 120-day payment cycle. And there is a visibility on all these programs, what we talked about in the next two, this thing, we have a program-wise confirmed everything. So there is no risk in those things. And of course, 2027 FY, we need some working capital, additional working capital requirement to meet this, that we will have to organize at that point of time. So otherwise, we don't see any major issue in this growth as well as, and we are covered in almost all the things. 30%, yes, you are right, in 2027. Our facility will be ready, one portion will be ready by Diwali itself. Around October 28th, we plan to move. And phase 1A of our DAC also will be ready by March. So hopefully this should take care of 2027 requirements. 28, of course, the rest of the facility has to be ready. And we have 18 months time. I hope everything will be ready by that.
Sure.
To answer your question, Yeah, to answer your question as to why the Q1 is always traditionally a lean quarter, that majorly because of the fact that the defense revenues, which constitute a significant portion of 30% plus, in fact more so in this year, is kind of, I would say, aggregated towards Q3 and Q4. It starts from Q2 end onwards, and it extends up to Q3 and Q4. And what you see predominantly in Q1 are the engineering services revenue, which is of aerospace, ESA and other verticals.
Got it, sir. That's super helpful. One last question, if
Sorry,
I may.
Varun, I would request you to please join back the queue, as there are several participants waiting for their turn. Thank you so much, sir. We take the next question from the line of Saurabh Sadwani from Sahasra Capital. Please proceed.
Hello. Yes, sir. Hello. Yeah.
Yeah, go on.
Good evening, sir. This is my question, I think, to Anurag. So what led to the growth in ESAI? One thing. And the second one, what are we doing with Apple? Or the win that we announced, what are we doing with Apple? Yeah.
Okay. Good evening, everyone. Yes, it's an excellent question that what has led to this kind of growth. So we have embarked on new relationship and engagement with two hyperscalers, which is Amazon and Apple. And we are, as you know, that the market, the semiconductor market is moving towards chip manufacturing, which is application-oriented, end-use-oriented. And that is where our opportunity arises. And that is where we are looking for design, development, and even with Apple. So I hope this answers your question.
And so, answer your question as to what led to the growth in ESA revenues in Q1. Essentially, our business with Texas Instruments, as compared to last year, has started growing significantly, which is kind of expressed in the revenue growth in ESA.
Okay, okay. Just one follow up on the Apple side. Are you trying to build ASICs for them now? Apple and Amazon both.
No. Basically, I just don't want to dwell too much into this, but I can say this is Ravi Narayan here. The case of the first customer you are talking about, the phone company, we are not working directly on the apps or the chips. We are working on the support activities. We are trying to create certain boards for them to do the test and evaluation of their product. And in case of the second company, which is a delivery and that is a marketplace company, we are working with we are working on their product side, like Kindle and Alexa and those kind of things. Again, we are helping them create the product and test the product. We are setting up a world-class acoustic lab for them, the second company, as part of our infrastructure. That also may be ready by this October, November. And we probably will, once it is ready, with God's grace, we will be in a position to take care of most of their product requirements in the time to come. In the first company, we are going to work with their local partner in India, who is their manufacturing partner, closely, very closely, and provide all the support activities and boards for them, the manufacturing partner. This partner is not a traditional couple of two guys whom you know. There is a third one which is coming up. So this partner we are going to work along with in the phone company. So this is two boards. And what led to our growth is our dependency on Qualcomm and Texas Instruments we broke, and we are working towards the AI chip manufacturers, and we have establishing a very strong relationship with two of them, especially the upcoming AI chip companies, and these things are looking up good. Also, we are looking at major applications in ADAS and SDV areas. We had last week some major wins, last couple of weeks have been extremely good. And we won some of the, especially in the areas of ADAS, SDV and transportation related activities in the ESA. So this looks good at this point of time. Outlook not only this year, next year looks good. And we are again working with one more hyperscaler, Saturn. So probably we'll be able to highlight it the next year, next call. Okay. Thank you, sir.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Deepak Kodar from Sapphire Capital. Please proceed.
Thank you very much, sir, for this opportunity. So just first up, wanted to understand on your core business. We are looking at 40% CAGR over the next 3 years. So what sort of margins aspiration we can have over the next 3 years? I mean, I think first quarter we were at about 18.6% EBITDA margin. So how should one look at as your scale picks up?
Currently, the ESI margins are very good. And currently, the ESI margins are at 23%. Are you able to hear that?
I'm trying to understand as a core business.
Yes, sir. I'm just coming back to this. Currently, the ESI margins are at about 22-23%. And followed by defense margin, which is at 19%+. Followed by aerospace margin, which is at 16%. But aerospace margin this time is quite less. Q2 also may maintain because of a lot of holidays and so on. So basically, we are looking at an average improvement. There is a lot of improvement in these 3 years. We may end up anywhere between 19.2 to 19.7% or 19.8% this year. Years to come, it will be between 20 to 21%. In the core sector. And
21%.
Yeah, it should be averaging between 20. It will definitely be, this year it will be around 90-ish, 19+ something. Next year onwards it will be 20, between 20 and 21%. Okay.
20-21% next year. Okay, got it. That's very clear. And in terms of our outlook that we have shared on our Power 930 plan, So I would just, if this year we grow at about 25%, so we'll reach around 1300 crores kind of a top line at a console level. To reach 9000 in the next 4 years, we'll require at least 60% CAGR growth, right? Is that something, are we too optimistic on that or is it something that is doable for us?
No, not at all. We are not throwing any numbers or not dreaming or anything. Because we are very systematic about it, we are very serious about it. This year and next year, we are working without any infrastructure or without any major change. Please understand that we are almost investing about $200 million, about 1500 crores in infrastructure before the beginning of 27. So that should lead us to a tremendous jump growth of nearly about, 80-90% or more than 70%. Which will compensate for, let us put it this way, first 2 years about 40-45% growth on core areas, and non-core, we hope we would have got an answer for non-core by next year, definitely by beginning of next year. So the average growth will be about 45% next year, and then there will be a steeper growth because of the fuel by the infrastructure and the facilities and new customer acquisitions. We are pretty much planned it out, and there is no hypothetical issue in this, and we are fairly confident about it.
Fair enough. And just one last thing on the ESOP cost. What was the ESOP cost in this quarter? It was 12.9 crores, right?
No, it was around 3 crores because at the moment there is only the chairman who is bestowed with the grant. The rest of the plan is on the in the works, and it will start showing up from Q2 onwards.
And so FY26 entire year, we are targeting what, 50 to 60 crores of ESOP cost?
Maybe slightly lower than that. Is what at the moment we are looking at. Yes.
So 40-50 crores in that range.
Yeah, that's right.
Okay. And when we say 300 basis point improvement in margins, so we exclude this ESOP cost, right?
We actually have factored the ESOP cost in this. It is a net improvement in terms of EBITDA margin.
I mean, after factoring in ESOP cost, we are expecting 300 basis point improvement in margins?
Correct.
Okay. Because currently, I think last year we were at 14%. First quarter also, we were at similar 14%, right? EBITDA margin.
The turbulence of the revenue and margins will start happening from Q3. End of Q2 and Q3 onwards.
That's pretty clear. Okay. That would be from my side. All the way best to you. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Before we proceed with the next question, A reminder to the participants, please limit your question to two per participant. The next question is from the line of Harshil, an individual investor. Please proceed.
Yeah, hello. Hi, this is Harshit Kapade. I'm calling from Elara Securities. Thanks for giving me an opportunity. Just have two questions. One thing, there's a recent defense acquisition approval which came for 67,000 crores. Would you be able to share, you know, which of the areas Exocad is involved in those particular 8 to 9 platforms which have been, you know, disclosed? And secondly, I have a question related to Brahmos, right? I'll just first get the first question answered.
Sunil, can you answer this question? Yesterday,
yeah.
The DAP approval, is there any activities in which we are involved?
Yeah. So, we are involved in the mountain radar.
Okay.
Okay, so in that, the digital beam forming and the signal processing systems will be from us.
Okay, okay. What about Brahmos missile? I think there was also a big order for Brahmos missiles of close to 11,000 crores, and we are supplying wiring harness. So, are we part of that or we are not part of it?
Can you just repeat the question, please?
Yeah, in the 67,000 crore order, they also mentioned Brahmos missile was also part of that procurement deal. So, are we not supplying wiring harness for the Brahmos missile or for that particular project we are not participating?
Murli, can you answer this?
The Brahmos wiring harness is an ongoing order for us, and we will be qualifying into production soon, and the later part of deliveries we will definitely be a part of it. Apart from wiring harness, we are also working on critical electronic systems for Brahmos.
Okay, so but still we are not, you know, right now part of it, but we'll be part of it probably in FY27 and 28. Is that what?
Let me just give a clarity. Brahmos has got 71 wire harnesses. We are already selected in the major one. So within 6 months, when we complete this, we should be part of it and going forward. Even in beginning of FY27 onwards. So by the time this project matures or starts, we will be ready for that. And remaining also, I think we have a shot at that. It is not at the finalist. And so we will have a major this thing in that. And also onboard computers and strategic electronic units. And also, we are in the process of major development with reference to that. And which I cannot disclose at this stage probably, but we will inform you in Q2. So we have a sizable share in these things.
Okay. Fair enough, sir. Wishing you all the best, sir.
Thank you.
For
thank, you. Thank you.
Thank you. We take the next question from the line of Vijay Sarthi from Shubkam Ventures. Please proceed.
Thanks for this opportunity, sir. So you laid out your plan for the next 5 years. I just want to understand that most of these growth comes with a lot of being a core system supplier integrator and not just being a component player. Understand that you also do some subsystem activity. How do you think we will progress from the next 3 years to the next 5 years? Say, for instance, Project Kusha, we are doing digital beaming forming unit, but when it comes to further moving up the scale in terms of revenue, do we really see ourselves moving up the platform level? Or how is it likely to be? Some insights on that will help.
You don't want to single out a particular project, but
yeah.
Basically we are, one hand, we have our own modules, which is going into subsystems, which goes into every major product, like direction finder, direct RF, as you said, the exciter receiver, digital beam forming units. These are all our standard product offerings, goes irrespective of who wins. Secondly, we are trying to if you look at Brahmos and Kusha, for example, we are already setting up competencies in major platforms such as rocket motors, seekers, and then the electronics, onboard computers and electronics. These three, except warhead, we are concentrating on everything. So this is on the missile side. And similarly, in the radar side, we are attempting for full radar in many cases. And are also, we are looking at foreign OEMs for radar maintenance, radar support, integration, etc. And our facility, once it happens, will be among the largest for radar. Yeah, and with Indra, with collaboration, we are also making products to start with. We are trying to do the Tekan antenna, and probably at some point of time, this is going to be for exports and for total system also. We are not merely the system integrator. We make our own subsystems. We integrate and we develop it from the ground, and so we have a plan for all these things at this point of time.
So in a layman, would you be qualify yourself to be a tier one player in the next 3 to 4 years? Is that understanding?
Of course. When we say we are looking at for example the tier one means let us say in the case of I'm hypothetically saying Kusha, we will have about 4 tier ones. One who takes care of the electronics and radar, one who takes care of the complete missile integration, one who takes care of the ground systems, and one for the other propulsion and other things. Basically, we should be in a position to attempt all these things, any one of this or something like that, maybe once the facility is ready. And yes, we should be ready by that time in every case. That's what is our focus. Yeah. Am I clear?
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Rishita from iWealth. Please proceed.
Hello, sir. A very good evening. Sir, my question was mainly on the order book side. So, sorry if I'm repeating it again. So, if you could just give me the bifurcation of how much is the defense order book and the other components of the order book?
So basically, defense we have already mentioned, it is 540 crores approximately, and which is on the, so the 540 crores comprises of DRDO, PSU orders and OEM orders, and a small portion in the counter drone systems. So this is our, and of course the tank trailer order which we received. So put together, this is tank trailer order itself is 200 crores. Depending upon how much we can deliver, we are hoping to deliver about 20 systems a month, hopefully. And if we are able to deliver the 20 systems a month, we have calculated like that. And so then there is a counter drone order. And so defense comprises of these four, five major activities. Everything is confirmed, and we need to sort of look at this. So this is around, is it counter drone? That's the only thing. It could be 540, it could be 600. Depends on how much we can deliver. The rest will be passed on to the next financial year. And
So this 540 crores is just for this year, right? Deliverable.
Yeah, this year deliverable. And the financial year.
As of today, what is our closing order book? Total.
As of today, only. This is all as of.
Last quarter, we said that our defense order book is around 1,000 crore, right?
Understand on that. Yeah, this will be approximately, if you, for this year and next year, we are looking at somewhere around close to about 1,500 crore defense order book, this year and next year.
Which you've already booked. Already booked and
secured.
Okay. And they are supposed to be delivered in the next 2 years.
One thing I wanted to tell you, this also has offset orders in the form of OEM contracts, and this is also based on the MOEs and agreements we have signed, or partnerships we have signed. And so this also includes that. Okay. So because these are all on the services, these are all like a recurring agreements, we are recurring happenings. So the quantities and all, I'm just giving an average value, basically a pessimistic value on that.
Okay. And sir, this quarter, our aerospace revenue has grown by just 6%, right? And our full year guidance is quite on the steeper side. So what gives us the confidence that we'll be able to deliver this kind of growth for the full year?
Mohan, can you answer this?
Yes, sir. Yeah. See, we have an order book of about 450 crores. And as was stated by our chairman, the first and the second quarters are usually lean, contributing to about 35% of our overall sale. The remaining sale happens during the last two quarters. And this has been the tradition as well. Hence, we are confident of meeting our numbers.
And just one last question on the finance.
Ruchita, I would request you to please join back the queue as there are several participants waiting for their turn.
Yes. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much, ma'am.
Thank you.
We take the next question from the line of Mahesh Talati from Agility Advisors. Please proceed.
Yeah. Hello. Am I audible?
Yeah, please.
Yeah, so thank you so much for the opportunity and congratulations on a decent set of numbers. So just wanted to understand, there have been news about HAL providing letter of intent for the to the Israeli company for radar for Tejas MK1 from the 31st airplane as well. So how do you think will this impact us in the going impact us in the future, as this is one of the major opportunities? And apart from the air component, what is company providing for Tejas and what is the estimated value that company derives from one aircraft?
I will answer the first question and I'll ask my colleague Sunil to answer the next one. First question is the Israeli company you mentioned, and Yelta, and you mentioned the Tejas this thing. We are aware of that.
Yeah.
And in Q2 next investor call, I will be able to give you a much better and a good news regarding that. Okay, I don't want to talk anything about this at this stage, but next quarter, very soon we will give some kind of a very positive news on that. With that, I will give you the details of what we add value to Tejas. I will give it to Sunil, who is our delivery head of defense.
Yes, Sunil, yeah. So for each LCA, we will be having around 12 crores to 13 crores per aircraft as of now. And we are also looking at a few more systems in the LCA Mark 1A, which could add up a couple of more crores.
So how many new components are we planning here?
Okay, so we are looking at a couple of things in this. We are already in the EW and the ERP of the radar and the machine computer and the smart multifunction display. These add up to around 12 crores. And then we are looking at a few more components in the LCA.
Okay, understood. And next, also promoter has been consistently selling shares and for some time. So why, when we have such a great opportunity for growing, what is the reason behind the selling? If you could please highlight that.
Yeah, let me answer the first thing, because strategically this has been a sensitive issue. For us, we are looking at promoter being a PEP, politically exposed person. We are not, as a chairman of the company, I'm requesting the major promoter to reduce the stake, because when we are talking about forging a relationship with foreign OEMs, they are sensitive to this fact. So we are trying to bring them below 50% over a period of time. I assured the foreign OEMs that they will be around 49% in the next few months or in the next, at least within a time frame. So that is the reason we are consciously trying to bring them down. So that is the whole thing. Because today it's important for us to build these relationships, and we don't want this to be one of the deterrents. So this has been a management and board decision, and this is on our request. They are trying to sort of hive off. So that is
Okay, so we could see further selling coming up as well for next couple of quarters.
Yeah, we want to, ultimately they should be brought down. There are only two ways. Either they sell at secondaries or we go for some fundraising on the primary, which we don't want at this stage at this price. And anyway, we don't feel there is any liquidity event in the company over next 1 year at least on the top level. So the only option is right now to have the secondary sale. Okay, that is the only option left out. Okay. And okay. This has to be brought below 50. Okay.
Okay. And sir, last question was relating to
sorry,
the cash
Mr. Mahesh. I would request you to go back to the queue. Thank you so much, sir. We take the next question from the line of Rohan Mehta from FICOM Family Office. Please proceed.
Hello, sir. Thank you so much for the opportunity. So, given the strong growth guidance across defense, aerospace, and ESAI, I'm interested to know when do you think precisely the execution is going to pick up in the core segment? And do you expect Q2 to be on the similar lines as of Q1 as well? Or do you expect certain improvements? And secondly, if orders are already in hand and, no new facility is needed for FY26 to meet the FY26 targets, why is execution largely being pushed to H2? So if you could just spend some time explaining that, is it only specific to defense or what is exactly going on?
Let me answer this question. Number one is Q2, we are expecting a fairly good improvement. Though Q2 is a bad quarter for aerospace because Airbus is from Europe. Europe is closed for about a month's time. And we lose about, and basically it is totally as the services this thing. So we almost lose about 1/3 in the process, but still we are trying to make up. So Q2 is being kind of, because with the most of the foreign companies are on holidays and so on, there is always a sluggishness in Q2. And so that is the reason that overall Q1 and Q2 does not. Q1 is just the starting of the year and there is a sluggishness. Q2 because of the holiday season. But despite that, we are planning to put forth a strong result in the Q2 compared to Q1. Definitely that will be there. I don't want to give any guidelines, but there will be a major improvement in Q2, definitely. And next question, yes, there is no dependency on facility per se, but there is a dependency on manpower, and there are also customer readiness. Basically, if you look at it, let's see, the difference, once the product is ready, customer has to come, accept it, they have to do some trials. The cycle is more better in the Q3 and Q4 difference. It is not in our hands. Even if we get the product ready, we cannot, the customer should come, inspect, approve, take, then allow us to ship. So that is what is happening in the products and systems. So that is causing little bit of delay. Even I get the product ready today, it will probably take about three months for us to get the final approval. So this is where everything is getting pushed to a little this thing. It's not because of, and also manpower. So manpower, because of the aggressive growth we are having, some of the activities we need to have a right people in place. There is a lack of, I would say, one of the things we are seeing is that our efficiency and productivity in certain cases or certain types of orders are lower. So we are trying to build this up. So overall, order book, there are execution issues and delivery issues because of these things. But Q3, Q4, because we are in the line for customer approvals and so on. So in the case of defenses is the main case. In the case of foreign OEMs, this is because of, again, their inavailability during this month, July and August. Okay. Thank you.
Okay. Okay. And my last question is, could you provide me what is your average interest rate on your outstanding debt as of today?
Sashi?
Yeah, so the weighted average is about 9.5% in terms of our working capital debt, which is around 48 crores, and then we have a long-term debt of around 101 crores. With an alternate investment fund. So if you can look at it, of course, we also use BCFC facility and all of that. So you can say that the average finance cost is around 8.5%.
Sorry, could you repeat that? It's around?
8.5%. 8.5.
Yes. Got it. Got it. Thank you.
Thank you. We take the next question from the line of Akshay from Exponent Tribe. Please proceed.
Thank you for the opportunity, sir. I have a few questions and I will run them through. So, firstly, for the aerospace business, it's been touched upon a couple of times, but just to be sure, what are the specific areas which will ramp up for us to get to 450 odd crores revenue that we have guided for FY26? So Airbus is a business that is, at least in the past, been a steady growth business, but not a non-linear one. So can you touch upon which areas will add to that non-linearity? That's first. Second was on, you've spoken about tooling in the analyst day and then in the presentation as well on the aerospace side. Can you help us understand what kind of tooling are we going to be doing in the aerospace side? Is it something similar to what our Unimech does? And when do we start doing that work? So that's on aerospace. On defense, on the MBDA side, have we already sent a sample test bench to them? Is it approved or qualified? And when do we start seeing commercial supplies? And on the Indra side, sir, TAC and antenna is what we are going to be making, right? So again, where are we on the development? When do we start selling? Would good to know. So yeah, these are the four questions I have.
I will give the third and fourth question. Shardi Babu will answer. And so first and second question will Mohan will answer. Let me start with Shardi Babu. Let us ask Shardi Babu.
Sir, okay, regarding the defense growth, we are already partnered to MBDA. We are the center of excellence for test benches. And recently we have announced our relationship. So we have an ongoing test bench program already with MBDA. And we have right now this year, we have enhanced the overall volume of test benches from MBDA. That is already in progress and it is going on. And regarding Indra, this is we will have a very short cycle of a prototype. After that, we are going for production. So you will see the production orders either second half of this year or probably by next year, we'll have the production going on.
Sure.
Okay. So, Mohan, can you cover the aero answers?
Yeah, sure. So on your first question on aerospace business, see, for this year, we are having an order book of 450 crores, which I mentioned some time back. And most of these orders are from our existing customers, predominantly from Airbus, Bombardier, and other things. So this year, we are not talking about non-linear growth. This year is from our existing set of customers, which we will execute from the current set of offerings that we are doing. That is number one. Number two is on tooling, which you are asked. Our plan for tooling is basically for the flying parts and the non-flying parts. The flying parts is sense that all components and assemblies, toolings, that is what we are looking at. Non-flying parts is all GFE, GHE is all the kind of tools that we are looking at. So for tooling, we have started some work as we mentioned sometime back in one of our investor presentations. We are slowly going and the results are likely to come somewhere in the Q3, Q4 and in the next financial year for us. We have one small order from some of the Indian tier ones and which probably would help us win more orders with the international customers as we set up our own facilities. I hope I have answered your question.
Sure. So if I may ask one more question, we've spoken about ESWT in our presentation. What is the value of the homing receiver in an ESWT and how many ESWTs are going to be procured?
So as part of ESWT, we have the homing receiver which will come to around 1.5 crores per torpedo.
32?
Yeah, so we are looking at around 20 per year. For a total of around 100 numbers in the next 5 years.
100 in the next 5 years. Okay. And when will it start?
So we have already started the first of production. And we will be delivering the first unit probably by November, December of this year.
Sure. That's very helpful. Thank you so much.
Thank you. We take the next question from the line of Rupesh Tatya from Sri Rama Managers PMS. Please proceed. Sorry to interrupt, Mr. Rupesh. We aren't able to hear you. Could you please fix that? Hello, Mr. Rupesh. You are not audible.
Yeah, I'm audible now. Hello.
Sir, your voice is breaking.
Hello. Is it better now?
Yes.
Hello.
Yes.
Okay. Okay. Thank you, sir. Sir, I was saying congratulations for the fantastic set of numbers. I have two questions. One on the OEM business and one on the Pusha business. So Pusha business, sir, what? How many radars? How many digital beamforming units are there in this long range battle management radar? So you have given the total production quantity of 75, and my understanding is five squadrons at least I think are in the works in the beginning. So that 75 number looks a little bit of a steep climb. So if you can just give that number, and then I think in the past we have said that we'll do 5 crore per Pusha missile, IFF, onboard computer, rocket motor casing. So if you can just tell whether the prototypes are approved or prototypes are under testing, have we got the order, are we single source supplier for this 5 crore component supply. So this is on the Pusha. And then on the OEM business, sir, this generic test benches that we are making for MBDA, has the prototype been made? Has the sample been sent to MBDA? When will it be qualified? When can we see first supply? And then the similar question for the TACAN antenna from Indra. So these are my one question on OEM and one question on Pusha.
Rupesh, the second question has already been answered. I think you are not listening. Both the same. The test bench the previous person has asked. So Mr. Sardi Baba has already answered. Let me give some highlight on Pusha, and Sunil also will answer further. Pusha is totally 47, the acceptance of necessity is for 474 batteries. That means 474 systems into four numbers, like 1976 or something like that. That is number of missiles. So radar take that it's totally about 474 numbers, radar part. So that is for that numbers wise. So that is the basis, and rest of the things and where we are eyeing is, of course, all the major components. I cannot dwell too much into where what we are going because it really. So I'll ask Sumit to explain about this particular one particular product. But other than that, we are very confident of having a major value in Pusha. But currently, because it's going little behind schedule. So we will discuss that further in the next meeting, but currently let Sunil, can you answer on the other than numbers here?
Hi Rupesh. So we have around the DBF, which is going to listen, we have received the order now, and we will be delivering it by around March this financial year. And once this the trials are completed, and then the production will start for this. So right now we have an order book of 5 numbers initially.
Okay, okay. But 75 will be done in 2-3 years?
It will be, it will take 4 to 5 years.
It will take 4 to 5 years, okay. And yeah. Then maybe one more I'll allow, if I will ask. On this maritime patrol radar, sir. I just got one. Hello.
Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, so my question is on this maritime patrol radar. So I think my understanding is Dornier 228 upgrade, I think DRDO, I think has missed the bus. Then I think it is not present in any of the other LUS. I think it is present in one ALS, Mark III, in Indian Navy and Coast Guard. So where are we on this maritime patrol radar, and then When can we see the order? Which platform will it be? If some clarity you can give on that.
On maritime patrol radar, I don't think we have given a projection, right?
So we're not involved in that program?
No.
Okay. Okay. Thank you. Thank you for answering that.
Thank you.
Thank you. We take the next question from the line of Varun Kulkarni from Ingrid AMC. Please proceed.
Yes, sir. Most of my questions have been answered. One small touch-up, if I may. What will we be exactly manufacturing in the aerospace segment going forward? Or would we be focused on being a technology provider since we are classified as a tier 2 and 3 player in the value chain? It's a very basic question, but would like some clarification on that. Thank you.
Mohan?
Yeah. So, for this question, see, I would ask, see, what we are trying to do is we are trying to leverage our engineering expertise and then take it up to the next level for manufacturing. So, for example, in tooling, we are already a tool design expert. We have been doing tool design for many years. So, we are graduating into tool manufacturing, so that will give us an end-to-end solution to our customer, number one. Number two, we are also addressing another specific problem. Today, because of ramp-ups and other things, many of them are unable to deliver to the final assembly line. And we have an opportunity where we space companies where they are not getting products from the same supply chain. So we want to address that requirement wherein we will make specific components to those. They can call it as a speed shop, or it can be called as a space requirement, addressing the space requirements. And then there are other opportunities that we are working, which are very early stage, like passenger to fleet conversion opportunities and various other things, which probably we will address it in probably in Q3 or something when the opportunity gets more mature. So this is what we have planned. And then the last one is on the MRO, component repair and testing. And all these opportunities, when you look at it, the machineries and the capability that is required are one and the same. So as a result, we'll be able to manage our assets very efficiently and be able to give a very competitive solution to our customers. I hope I have answered your question.
Yes, sir, sure. That's it from my side. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, due to time constraints, we take that as the last question and would now like to hand the closing remarks to the management. Over to you.
Thank you. Thank you, everyone. And thank you to all our esteemed leaders and participants for your time and interest in our company. We appreciate this engaging session and insightful questions. I hope we were able to answer all your questions. Should you have any further questions or need any additional clarification, please feel free to connect with us. Thank you and have a good day.
Thank you. On behalf of Axis Gates Technologies Limited, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines.